Thank you all for being here this morning, and what a great day it really, really is. God is with us this morning as we gather here in His name to worship and honor our Lord. And for those of you who may be visiting with us this morning, we thank you, and we invite and encourage you to come again whenever you find it possible. Others are coming in, and that's great. It's always wonderful to be in the house of God on the Lord's Day. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go into the house of God. I can't think of any place I had rather be than to be among brethren, those who share the like precious faith that we all share with Christ our Lord. And I hope that you'll be here tonight at the evening service at 6 p.m. and stay for the chili supper. We have a dear, sweet sister in our church, Lisa, who won. Was it last year she won? Two years ago. And we didn't know till after she won that she got her chili at Wendy's. But anyway, she repented, and we forgave her. But anyway, she can't do that this year because Wendy's is no longer here. But anyway, we hope that all of you will want to come and enjoy the wonderful time that we have with each other. It's always a great occasion when God's people can get together. I do want all of you to know this morning that we are really deeply committed to faithful teaching of the Word of Jehovah God, the Bible. And as David mentioned this morning, I do want to talk about baptism. It is a subject we don't talk about a whole lot, and a lot of times churches no longer even offer the invitation of our Savior to come and be baptized and to rejoice with God upon the lives of those who have been changed by the power of the gospel. But when it comes to baptism, what's holding you back this morning? If you're not a baptized believer, what would hold you back? I would tell you that nothing held Tim Vasquez back. He became a child of God this week, and Tim is here with us this morning. And Tim, I'm going to ask you to stand so everybody just know who you are, identify with him, and we praise God. We praise God for him. He is the husband, of course, of Shannon Key Vasquez. And I had the opportunity to study with Tim, and I'm just so thankful and grateful that he made the great confession of faith and surrendered his life in obedience to the gospel in baptism. And that is such an important step that God has called upon each and every one of us to take in life. I want to talk to you as I talk about baptism this morning. I want to talk about five misconceptions that keep a lot of people from taking that step that we call baptism. Do you realize that there are a lot of people who say, well, I'm just not really worth saving. There are a lot of people that do not believe that God loves them enough that God could actually save them. But that is an error. That is wrong. You can put a big X over that. And don't waste your second chance. God has given you this morning another opportunity to do His will. And if you've been thinking about that and you've been putting it off, then this morning would be a good time for you to step forward, to stand up, as we were singing a moment ago, and acknowledge your faith in Christ and repenting of sin and being baptized for the remission of those sins. Jonah, obviously, is one who took advantage of the great second chance that God gave unto him. Jonah chapter 1. But the Bible actually teaches us in 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, he says, but with the precious blood of Christ. I want you to focus on that word precious. You know, when you say something is precious, you say it is of great value to you. And the blood of Jesus Christ is of great value unto us. There are many people in our world today that just do not understand how precious that blood of Jesus actually is and was. You know, someone asked me one time, couldn't God have redeemed man in some other way? God could have done anything He wanted to. God could have shown His love for mankind maybe by having just a mortal man die for us instead of the Savior, His only begotten Son. But in actuality, God says, I want to show the human race how much I love them by the giving of my own son and the shedding of his own blood. That's how precious the blood of Christ really is. And we're going to sing about that blood in just a moment. There's power in the blood, the precious blood of Jesus. Someone said that self-worth is so vital to your happiness. If you don't feel good about, listen to it, if you don't feel good about yourself, it's hard to feel good about anything else. You are loved. And for someone to say, I just don't feel like I'm worth saving, you know what God did? For in the book of Romans 5 and verse 8, he said that God commendeth his love toward us, that in while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Therefore, when I read that passage, I recognize that you are loved, you are enough, and you are worthy of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You didn't deserve it by any means. You know, I get amused sometimes if people say that God has blessed me more than I deserve. You know, in reality, you don't deserve anything. I don't deserve anything. Anything that I receive is a gift from God. It is a gift from our Father who is in heaven. So yes, he loved you more than you deserve to be loved, all right, because you didn't deserve to be loved at all. But God gave his son that we might live. And what does the Bible say about, listen, about the value of human life? You know, we have so many people today that do not value human life, that would take your life in a minute in a drive-by shooting. They would kill you for pennies. They would take your life for any number of reasons. No wonder Christ sent Jesus into the world to show us his great love by the giving of his son. In the book of Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, that may be a little bit light, and you may not be able to see that real well. But the Bible says, have I not commanded you, be strong and be of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wherever you go, God is with us. That's why we sing those songs, Be With Me, Lord. That's why we sing songs like Go With Me, Jesus, or anywhere he leads me, I will follow. In the 10th chapter of the great book of Matthew, in verse 29, the Bible says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? Now, Christ is asking this question, and he says, one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And he says, fear ye not therefore, for you are more valuable than the sparrows. Have you ever watched sparrows? I've watched them many, many times. I've seen them in our backyard. I see them flitting and flying around, and it's amazing that God knows about every one of those little sparrows. You know why he knows about them? It's because he created them. He made them. And God knows you. He made you in his likeness. For God, in the book of Genesis chapter 1, said, let us, that is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the triune God, let us make man in our own image. You know, I'm afraid that there, if people really read the Bible, they would understand why God gave Jesus. They would understand why it's so important to follow God if they understood the Word of God and why it's so important to be baptized. But we have a lot of people today that do not know the Word of God like they used to. Let me give you an example of this. A lot of people use these expressions as if they are biblical. What about cleanliness is next to godliness? Not in the Bible. You won't find it there. Principles are there. And I'm certainly not encouraging you to go without a bath or a shower. What I am telling you, though, is you won't find that statement in the Bible. Cleanliness is next to godliness. What about this one? God helps those who help themselves. Sounds good, doesn't it? But it's not in the Bible. Or what about confession is good for the soul? No, Bible doesn't teach that either. A lot of people quote that and say, oh yeah, it's there. No, it's not. I challenge you to find it. What about money is the root of all evil? Not there. Not there. Now, some people say, now, wait a minute. I know I've heard. No, you've heard Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, say that the love of money is the root of all evil. It is not money itself that is the root of all evil. Money can be, it is the medium of exchange. It can be used for good things. It can be used for bad things if someone chose to do it. But the root of money, or listen, money is not the root of all evil, not according to the Bible, but the love of it is. And then what about this next one? That honesty is the best policy. That sounds good too, doesn't it? Sounds biblical, doesn't it? But it's just not there. So a lot of people make all kinds of statements about the Bible that just are not true. And if they knew the Word of God, they'd understand why they are worthy. There was a new minister one time who was asked to teach a young man's class on a Sunday morning in the absence of the regular teacher. And he decided to see what they knew, so he actually asked the boys that morning. He said, boys, he said, I'd like to know who knocked down the walls of Jericho. And the boys denied having done it. And the preacher was appalled by their ignorance. At the next elders' meeting, he told about the experience to the elders, and not one of them, he said, knows who knocked down the walls of Jericho. And the group was silent for a few minutes until finally one of the seasoned elders spoke up, and he said, preacher, this appears to be bothering you a lot, but I've known all those boys since they were born, and they're all good boys. And they, if they say they didn't do it, I know they didn't do it. Let's just take some money out of the general contribution and repair it and out of the maintenance fund if we have to, and fix those walls and let it go at that. You know, there are a lot of people that just really are illiterate when it comes to the Word of God. I don't want to be a VIP. I want to be a LIP. That is a lip for Jesus. It is. And a less important person. You and I are nothing compared to the God who is in heaven. You and I absolutely are not anything except we are worthy to God. One of these days you will die and they will bury you, and after about a year maybe, if you're a loved one, you will forget all about the death of your loved one. God will not. God will not. For he knows that someday, according to John 5 and 29, that he's going to resurrect that body out of the grave. For Christ taught that we would be resurrected and that we would have life eternal. All that are in their graves will hear his voice, the Bible says. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. You know, we generally think of ourselves as being worth a lot in the eyes of God because he loved us. We often sing that old song, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. Christ said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. So, point being, it is a misconception to say I am not worth anything to God and not be baptized. You can put a big X over that one also, because that is just not true. Well, what about this one? Number two, my past is too rough. How many of you led a rough life before you became a Christian? I didn't think I'd see too many hands on that one, but there are a few going up, and God bless you and thank you. You know what? When I think about people leading a rough life before they become Christians, I think about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, listen, he was killing Christians. He was doing the very thing that ISIS was doing a few years ago and were still doing, even if they were alive and active as well as they were then. But you know what? Our past cannot be too rough for God. I've told you many times that God can reach down to the guttermost, the gutter, wherever it is, and lift you to the uttermost. He can lift you high. We sing that old song, Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. But your past cannot be too rough. But sometimes people say, I live such an immoral and godly life, I just don't believe that God could really save me. But he can. In the book of Hebrews 7 and verse 25, the Apostle Paul again writes and says, therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. God can save you, and he can save me. And did you know, in actuality, there are really no degrees of sin? I know sometimes we think certain sins are worse than others, and I hear people say, well, you know, adding to the worship instruments and having women get up here and preach and teach, those are not going to hell sins. You know what, folks, let me ask you, what is a going to hell sin? Any sin that we commit that is not forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ is a going to hell sin. And Christ came into the world to take away our sin. And that's why the Bible in the book of 1 John 1 and verse 7 says, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all of our sin. Christ came to save sinners. But God proved his love in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5 and verse 8. But is there a sin God cannot forgive? Now, I know if I tell you no, there's no sin that God can't forgive. You go immediately over to the book of 1 John. And John talks about the sin for which we should not pray for. And he refers to it actually as the unpardonable sin. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9 and following, and I'm going to get back to that in just a minute, but I want to tell you how horrendously evil people were in the first century who were baptized and became Christians, regardless of what they had done. He says, do you not realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin, he says, or who worship idols, or those who commit adultery, or male prostitutes, or practicing homosexuals, or thieves, or those who are greedy people, or drunkards, or those who are abusive, or those who cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, but notice what he says in verse 11 about all of that. He says, but you were washed. You were washed. You were sanctified and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Now that tells me, if you go back and you look at all the manner of evil that these folks had committed and they could be forgiven, is it possible that we could have committed any kind of sin that could not be forgiven? Only one. And that's the one John says you don't pray for. He says that. And that is the total rejection of Jesus Christ our Lord. And that is precisely what Christ says. If a person goes to his grave without acknowledging Christ and without ever accepting the Lord and committing his life to Jesus Christ, there is no hope, folks, beyond the grave for that individual. It is called the unpardonable sin. There is no pardon. And when God brings the hammer down and he tells you what he says about life eternal, he said, he that would come to me, I will in no wise cast out. But the main thing is coming to him and being penitent and by being baptized and reaching the blood of Jesus that will take away your sin. You don't reach it any other way. You don't reach it by believing in God. You don't reach it by repenting of your sin. You don't reach it by good works. You couldn't do enough to maintain and receive and inherit your salvation. Just couldn't do it or merit your salvation. And some people ask the question, have I committed the unpardonable sin? Maybe, just maybe, you are in the process of committing it even now. Now think with me and don't lose me on this point. If I died without becoming a Christian and without becoming a follower of Jesus Christ, I have committed it. So at some point, you have to be in the process of committing it to reach the end result. So if you're not a Christian this morning, you're not a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 7 and verse 21. But he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Pretty understandable, actually, when you stop and think about it. But notice what Christ says in Mark 3 and 29. But whosoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. That's the total rejection of the Holy Spirit, folks. And that becomes unpardonable. Any sin is pardonable as long as you live. You don't pray for someone who's died, but you pray for the living. The Apostle Paul said, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. The unpardonable sin is the blasphemy against the Spirit, and that's the rejection of the Spirit's call to come to Christ. It's the total rejection of God, His Son, and the Holy Spirit. For Christ said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word, John 12:48, the same shall judge him in the last day. You and I are going to be judged by the word of God. It behooves us to get rid of that misconception, because God can save you. But if you wait until it's too late, listen, you will be denied the hope of heaven. Notice what he says, know ye not the unrighteous shall inherit the kingdom of God. Listen to all of those again. Anybody that's an adulterer, anybody that is effeminate or an abuser of themselves with mankind, anyone that is a fornicator, anyone that is a thief, anyone that is covetous, anyone who is an extortioner, listen, if you're guilty of that right now, you can be forgiven by the precious blood of Christ. But if you die in that state, folks, there is no hope beyond the grave. What did Paul mean in this particular passage of Scripture? He said in 1 Corinthians 11 that, listen, that rebellious people who rebel against God can be saved. For he says to those who were baptized, but you have been washed. Now you are sanctified. Now you are justified by the Spirit of God. And that just translates into being forgiven of our sin. No one goes to heaven without forgiveness. It's a misconception for one to say that I'm beyond redemption. Nope, you can put a big X across that one also. What about this one? I don't have it all together yet. What have you got to get together to be baptized? Stop and think about that, folks. We're talking about eternal consequences this morning. It's wrong to think in our hearts, I still have some things to get together yet. What could be more important than you becoming a baptized believer? Procrastination is a way of delaying all the favor of God that He has for you in your obedience to Him. God wants to bring great things into your life. But as long as you serve the old devil, and as long as you live an wretched, ungodly life, then there is no hope. For no cross, no Christ, no cross-bearing, no Christianity. How soon is not now? I'll tell you how soon it is. It's not never. Not ever. Never. The time is now. We have a lot of people that say, well, you know, you just please wait on me. Just wait on me. You know what? Waiting is but folly. You can't wait, because death may seal your fate at any moment. It is a misconception to delay baptism, thinking that there will be another time. We don't know that there will be another time. Tomorrow could be too late, so exit out also. Number four, I don't really think it's necessary. What about that one? No, a lot of people say that. They read what the Bible says about he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But they exit out and say, well, I just don't really believe it's necessary. Let me tell you something just a moment. Did you realize that if God said it, it's necessary. It's urgent. It's important. It is important. If God is all-knowing and he has called you to do something, why would you not do it? You say, well, I'm too busy. But too busy is a myth. Many people make time for the things that are important to you. When people ask me what is more important, food or love, I don't generally answer because I'm eating, someone said. You know what? That's not important. Jesus says, don't labor for the meat that doth perish. Life is like a camera. Focus on what's important. Capture the good times. Develop from the negatives. And if things don't work out, then take another shot. Take another picture. God said, I believe it. And that settles it. Would you believe it or not, it is settled already. God said, if he says it, then that settles it, folks. God said it. And it becomes a moot issue if we don't obey it. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, Matthew 28:18-20. It's a misconception for one to say that baptism is unimportant. Big X on that one. Can't use that one. What about this one? I accepted Jesus so long ago. Maybe you did, but maybe you were not baptized for the remission of sin. Maybe you love God this morning in your heart, but maybe you're not a Christian because you've not been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit for the remission of your sin. Or maybe you were not baptized in the right way. You can put a big X on that one. Did you accept Jesus into your heart? People say, well, I accepted him into my heart when he accepted me in the act of baptism. And he came into my heart according to Romans chapter 6. The question is, have you been baptized? Baptism, what does it mean to be biblically baptized? Well, we know that it involves a number of things. Some people say, well, I was sprinkled as a child. My mother and father had me christened when I was a baby and I was baptized. No, you weren't baptized. You were sprinkled. The word baptism comes from that Greek word baptizo, and it means to plunge in water, to completely cover. This last week when I baptized Tim into Christ, I baptized him by immersing him in water, under the water, up from the grave. He became a new child of Almighty God. Baptism, listen, sprinkling you is not New Testament baptism. You can put a big X on that one. You have to have, to become a Christian and to even be baptized, you have to have a conceptual change of heart. That's what repentance actually is. And you should not wait any longer to be baptized. You should accept Christ as Lord and Savior while you have time and while you have opportunity. And here's the question. Should you get baptized? Should you get baptized? If you were baptized for the wrong reason, if you didn't know what you were doing when you were baptized, or you were doing it because all the other kids at church were doing it, or you were at a church camp and they were all being baptized and you just thought that was the thing to do, It's like a lot of people say, I was baptized because I thought it was the right thing to do, but I didn't do it in the right way. Tiffany made that statement here the other day. I was baptized, but I didn't understand what I was doing when I was really being baptized and the commitment that I'm making unto God. Here are three questions that will help you. Number one, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you really believe that He is the Son of God? John 8 and verse 24, He said, "And except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sin, and where I go, you cannot come." Have you repented of your sin? That means to change your mind towards sin. It means to give up sin. It means you cannot live any longer in the ungodly fashion that you have lived. Can't do it. And then if you confess Jesus as the Son of the Almighty God. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and 32, that if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. And if you deny me, I will deny you before my Father who is in heaven. I have said far too long, preachers have been preaching on baptism, and that's why people are not baptized. You know, sometimes people say, well, our church hadn't baptized anybody in years. Well, I think there probably is a reason for that. If preachers are not standing in the pulpit and preaching the Word of God and leave off all the other junk and all the other mess that they're trying to bring into the kingdom of God and get back to preaching the Word of God, you'll start baptizing folk.
Amen.
You believe that? Amen. Well, what's holding you back? What's keeping you this morning from being a Christian? I can tell you there is nothing more important than obeying God. That's why baptism is so important. It's not any more important than any of the commands of God, but so oftentimes people leave this one out for some reason or another. I would appeal to all of you this morning that are not Christians to come to Christ. And come to Jesus on His terms, not yours. Get away from this thing. Well, I think it's all right. I think I'm all right. Or I don't think it's really necessary. Or I'm just not good enough to be baptized. Get rid of all that. The devil has impregnated your mind with those horrible, untrue, fake news. Turn to Christ and obey Him while we stand and while we sing.